Hi there, you're listening to The Recruiter Record, the podcast that goes behind the curtain of talent acquisition and human resources in corporate America, providing the ultimate tools, tips, and tricks so you're empowered with the information you need to boldly navigate your career. For all my newcomers, welcome, and I'm so glad you found this podcast. I hope it's the exact resource you've been looking for. I'm Joy Noel, a talent acquisition specialist with 20 years of experience in corporate America, a former road warrior, a connector extraordinaire, and I have a passion for helping people by sharing good, actionable information. That's my guiding principle for each episode, and that's exactly what you should expect every time you listen to The Recruiter Record. Join me here every 15th and 30th of the month when new episodes are made available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other major streaming services. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear and have gained even a small nugget that you can put into practice, leave a comment and let me know. You can also hang out with me on all social media platforms at Recruiter Record. I can't wait to connect with you all. Talk soon. Welcome back to TRR, the Recruiter Record podcast. Thank you for listening in every 15th and 30th of the month. I'm loving all the feedback that I've been getting so far, so please keep it coming and let me know what questions you have so I can continue to give you the information you need and really discuss the topics that you're interested in hearing about. All right, so today we're digging all the way into resumes. Originally, I was going to include cover letters in this episode, but I decided to do a bonus episode all about cover letters instead. So be on the lookout for that soon. What I realized was that to have a conversation about resumes and cover letters all in one was just going to end up being too long. So I think it's better to break it up, and I'm going to go ahead and just do a bonus episode. All right, so back to the resume. Now, to be quite honest, I hate working on my own resume. It's a task and just requires a lot of man hours and revisions and a lot of, you know, thought has to go into it, and then you have to do all the edits to get it just right. But in the end, it definitely is all worth it, so I do it. I'm sure many of you feel the exact same way, right? Well, the information I'm going to share with you today will help make it a little easier for you to get your resume in order and in a format that makes sense. So let's get this out the way first. The resume is not going anywhere anytime soon. Employers use the resume throughout the entire hiring process. It really guides the questions they'll ask you during the interview and helps them learn more about you ultimately and if you're a good fit for their company. Now, a resume is not a summary of your skills. It's not a list of your job history, and it's not going to automatically get a company to offer you a job. What it is, though, is a billboard on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, right? It's an advertisement. It's your advertisement. So think of it as your personal marketing asset. The key to remember when you're crafting your resume is that the goal is for this document to get you to the next step in the hiring process, which is on the phone with someone in talent acquisition, like me, or the hiring manager themselves. So let's talk about the main four types of formats to use to construct your resume. They're chronological, functional, combination, and targeted. Now, which one you decide to use really depends on the one that you feel will showcase you in the best light. So a little detail about each. Chronological is the most common, right? It's where your work history is listed in order by dates. Keep your most recent position at the top and work backwards from there. Now, if you have more than 15 years of experience, it's not necessary that you add it to the resume just for the sake of adding it, but you can. I recommend adding that additional experience if it's relevant to the position you're applying for. If it's not, you can take it off. Now, the next one is a functional resume, which focuses on your skills and experiences to deflect away from work history if you have gaps in employment. The truth of the matter is, and you know, I'm just the messenger, so don't get mad at me, is that gaps in employment can be considered red flags when the hiring manager is reviewing a resume. So you would use a functional resume to divert their attention and have them focus on your skills instead of looking at the gaps in employment. The combination resume is just that. It's the next it's the next one in the formats. So the combination resume, it marries chronological and functional, and it really creates an effective way to advertise and highlight your skills while offering your work history in chronological order. All the things that recruiters and hiring managers like to see. It just makes it easy to understand what you're all about and how your experience relates directly to the position. And finally, there's the targeted resume. This format is tailored with content that's laser focused and specific to the position and industry you're applying to. Everything that you list out, your skills, your work history, the professional summary, should all be able and to relate back to the requirements of the position. Now, my favorite format and style to use, if you couldn't tell, is the combination format. It permits you to use that 8.5 by 11 piece of real estate in the best way possible. So what I'll be discussing moving forward works best with the combination format, but if you change some things around, you can apply it to all. So what I want you to do before you start typing and before you start putting pen to paper, take some time to gather everything you need to write a compelling resume. I want you all to do a little bit of sort of preparation and groundwork so that the process is a little bit easier for you. So the first thing I suggest you do is print the job descriptions for the 3 to 5 positions that you want to apply to and read them with purpose multiple times, maybe about 2 or 3 times. And you're reading to extract information around the main responsibilities and requirements of the role, the language used to describe those responsibilities and requirements, and the keywords. And then take it a step further and pay attention to the verbs, the action, so that you can sprinkle those same action words into your resume. Now, I'm a highlighter and write in the margins kind of girl, so highlight key phrases and go ahead and write keywords in the margins. And trust me, you'll refer back to them later. So this work up front is going to help you in the long run. Second is, I want you to review the company's website in full. Look at everything. It will help you understand the organization as a whole and should offer you insight into their values. Now, hopefully you hold some of those same values and, you know, everything is in alignment. And then that way you can weave that bit of information into your cover letter. But more of that later in the bonus episode. Now that you've done the proper research, we can start pulling things together. Every resume should have the following: contact information, professional summary, work experience with results, and education. So we're going to take each must-have element on the resume and dissect each one, okay? So first, contact information. Now, believe it or not, people get this section wrong. I receive thousands of resumes in a month. Thousands. One of the things that really leaves me scratching my head is when people fail to include a way to contact them on their resume. I just don't understand it. Sometimes when I'm going through resumes, I want to call the person right then and there to start an engagement versus sending an email, waiting for a response, scheduling some time to talk. And it ends up being frustrating and quite frankly mind-blowing when a phone number is not on the resume. It just slows down the process, it lessens the excitement, and it just doesn't make sense. So sure, you have to provide a phone number and email address on the application that you fill out, but failing to put it directly on the resume is a fail. Always include these three things in the contact section: your first and last name, a non-ratchet email address, an active phone number, city and state. And please, there's no need to list out your full address. It's a safety and security concern, and it's just not necessary. Now, what you can delete immediately, and I mean right now, open up your laptop, turn on the computer, all while you're finishing listening to the podcast, and delete these things right now if you have them on your resume: a photo, unless you're going for a modeling or acting job; your salary requirements, because we're not there yet; and marital status. And take a look, and anything else that would make the HR department give you a side eye if they read it, take it off. It's not necessary. It takes up valuable space on your resume. And in the US, those things are just not a requirement on a resume. So the next element of the resume should be the professional summary. Now, this is one of my favorite components because it sets the stage for what's to come next. And many times it determines for me if I'm going to really dig into the rest of this resume or if I'm going to just scan it. It's the introduction of who you are. So you need to catch the reader's attention as quickly as possible. The purpose, remember, is to establish why you're an ideal candidate for the job. This should not be long either. Keep it to about 4 to 5 sentences. Space is limited. Now, in order to put this together, you're going to want to include these 4 things: your profession or job, number of years of experience, 2 key achievements or results or core responsibilities. You're also going to want to include past relevant experience, including how you've added value in the past, and be sure to back this part up with numbers. And 4, sum it all up with a statement that shows you intend to duplicate that same level of performance and work product in this new position. Now, some people still are listing this section as an objective, which is a mistake, especially if you're an experienced professional. An objective statement focuses on your interest as the person looking to get this job. It's not written or framed in a way that's what's important for the employer. So this is not the space for that. Because remember, the goal is to get the interview. So it needs to be all about the value you can bring to the organization in this position. And that's exactly what a professional summary does. The next main component is the skills section. Now, this is where you list out your skills that are relevant to the role. I advise people to stay away from listing out some of those common skills or buzzwordy sort of skills like multitasker or Microsoft Office, unless Microsoft Office is in the job description and it's a specific requirement. So sometimes you'll see job descriptions that list out Excel, must be proficient in Excel, or must be an advanced Excel user. If that's the case and you have that skill, you're an advanced Excel user, then by all means, list it in the skills section. Otherwise, this section should be a list of skills that have impact and are meaningful to the position. So if it's a sales position, you might list relationship development, territory management, consultative selling, and all the client management systems that you've used, like Salesforce, for example. If it's an IT position, you should list out the programming languages that you're exceptional in. If it's a scientist position or a researcher position, list out your lab techniques like in vitro or in vivo, cell culture, ELISA, etc. When listing out your skills, try and group them into categories like, for example, functional, technical, or hard skills, and soft skills. When you do this list and when you write them out, also after you've grouped them into categories, list them in order of proficiency. It just keeps it clean and makes it easier and for people like myself, recruiters, to see, you know, we look at the first skills to understand what's important, right? So next up is the experience section. Now, this is the meat and potatoes right here, right? And it should account for about 80% of your resume. Now, I want to focus on the format of this first. Standard format starts with the job title of the position, then the company name, city and state where the position was held, and the month and year of employment. You don't really need to do the full date. Month and year is sufficient. And finally, a bulleted list of responsibilities and results. Now, you do this for each position, and you're working backwards, remember. So your current or most recent experience should be listed first. Okay, so here's the trick, right? This is not just a copy and paste your current job description into this section. Please do not do that. In most instances, talent acquisition and the hiring manager already know what your responsibilities are. So instead, go back to the job description and understand what the key responsibilities of the role are. That's why we did that homework in the beginning. Marry your responsibilities to what's listed in the job description and add the results or achievement. So as an example, let's say you're a sales executive and you're applying for a territory management or a sales management position. Your current role is to reach out to potential clients, maintain existing client relationships, and develop business, and prepare and submit weekly sales reports to upper management or sales leadership. Well, guess what? That's 90% of any sales position. So you want to stand out, right? And the way that you're going to do that is by showing results and combining the responsibilities with the result. So instead of saying generate leads via cold calling, you might say exceeded team KPIs by 32% in Q1 and Q2. Instead of saying managed existing business, you might say generated over $50,000 in new business from existing portfolio employing a consultative approach. Okay? Recruiters are looking at thousands of resumes. Each statement needs to pack a punch. If it's not going to demonstrate that you are the person for the job, don't waste the space. Tailoring your resume to each position you apply to is also a good look and a good strategy. And it doesn't have to take a whole lot of time to do so. Tailoring the resume is a combination of including keywords and phrases from the job description in the body of your resume. Sort of sprinkle it throughout each section, right? So let me give you another example. Keeping with the sales executive theme, I told you I was a road warrior. Go back to the job description and look at what you highlighted in the requirements portion. It might have said 8+ years of complex solution sales and 3+ years of sales leadership experience selling to large enterprise accounts. It also might have said proven ability to influence at all levels to build strong stakeholder relationships, both internal and external. You can put that same language directly into the experience section of your resume, provided you have that experience. And if you don't have the experience, let's say maybe instead of 8 years of complex solution sales experience, you have 4, you can still apply to the position and just put the experience that you have. That's what I mean when I say tailor your resume for each position that you're applying to. Simply put, mention the requirements in your resume, considering you have that relevant experience and accomplishments, and then write it in phrases and words so that it's your voice coming through in the resume. This is not an exercise in copy and paste, okay? One thing I also want to mention, and that I should mention here, is you definitely should not fabricate your experience. It's really going to end up hurting you later. And it's, you know, just ultimately, it's not a good look. I can guarantee you that it's not going to be to your benefit in the end. So definitely no embellishments and definitely no outright lies on your resume, please. Finally, to close out the resume, is your education. Now, just because it's at the end and it's the last element does not mean that this is where you get lazy. So be sure to include these three things: the name of the program that you were enrolled in, the university, the name of the university or college, and any honors and academic achievements. Now, a few more tips on education. If you don't have any work experience and or you're a recent grad with internships, put your education at the top of the resume instead of at the end of the resume. Now, on the flip side, if you are a professional with, you know, even 1 year to two, well, let's say about 2 years of experience, you can start putting your education at the bottom. Another thing, if you have your bachelor's degree, there's no need to list your high school on your resume. If you don't have your bachelor's degree, let's say you have your associate's degree, you could still list your high school, but not necessary. And then also only list your GPA if you've had an outstanding academic career, i.e. a 3.0 or better, but really a 3.5 or better. And list your cumulative GPA as well as your GPA for your major. And if you've graduated more than 24 months ago, you don't really need to include your GPA at all, especially if you've gotten some solid work experience under your belt. Now, what we just went over are the absolute must-haves on every resume. Other optional things you can include that are specific to certain industries are your publication record, projects, certifications, awards, and your volunteering experience. These are not necessary. These are not the must-haves, and are usually seen on resumes in certain industries, not all industries. Now, one thing that I'm not a fan of seeing on resumes are hobbies and interests, unless, of course, you're a recent grad or still in school. Usually, recent graduates or people that are still in school, some of what I described, in your case, there's an exception to the rule, right? So, but hobbies, I don't feel like it's necessary, and I feel like it's taking up space, and you can figure out a way to, when you get the interview, sort of weave your hobbies into the conversation during the interview to build a little bit of rapport, especially if you've done your homework ahead of time and learned that the person that's interviewing you has similar interests. All right, so congratulations, y'all. The hard part is done. Now that you've gotten all the heavy lifting out the way and the content is together, you can stylize the resume and make it look amazing. Now, a word of advice, make sure that in the end, it's easy to read and formatted well. And please, 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 please read it again, and then read it again. You're looking to edit. Now is when you move things around. Maybe it's a little bit too wordy, so you take some things out. And then have a few people that you trust when you're done with your edits and when you're done reviewing. Have a few people that you trust review it some more. And have them review it not only for content, but also have them look for misspelled words and also just the overall aesthetic of the resume. All right, so a quick recap, because this was a lot of information on creating a resume that will get you in front of the hiring manager, right? So one, the goal of the resume is to get you an interview. It's your personal 8x11 billboard. Two, Do your homework before putting pen to paper by reading the job description of the positions you intend to apply to with purpose. Extract action words and key phrases to tailor your resume to the role. 3. Make sure you have the must-have elements in your resume, which are contact info, professional summary, work experience, and education. And 4, finally, be kind to yourself while you're going through the resume process and executing on a job search. It's not an easy process, and it takes time to find the opportunity that's right for you and that's going to be a good fit. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Recruiter Record Podcast. I hope you took at least one nugget that you can use when you're crafting your resume so it gets you an interview. For more tips and career advice, follow me on IG at Recruiter Record. If you have a topic that you'd like me to talk about or have questions, feel free to send an email to info@therecruiterrecord.com. I'm so excited to connect with you all. Talk soon.